You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast series 7 episode 33 coming your way this week. It's Kieran Burke and Gary Riley once again, and as ever we're brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. We're going to be joined by the man who scored that wonder goal at Richmond Park last night, Dale Rooney. He's going to join us on this week's podcast. It's been a busy couple of days of course with games on Friday night and last night Monday night. So we're going to break it down, I suppose, segment by segment. We'll look at the results that affected the title race first of all. Europe, relegation, the playoffs, so on and so forth. We got a lot of tweets from listeners last night on Twitter. We asked for your immediate reactions to the Monday results. We got a lot of feedback on that. So we're going to read out some of those tweets and we'll have the predictions league. And I'm sure we'll have lots more as we make our way through the pod as well. But Gary, good to have you on as ever.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Thanks very much, Kieran. Good to be back.
Yeah, look, we didn't get to Ferry Carry Park last night. Probably not a bad thing in the end. I was in Oriel. I've got a lot to say about that game against Cork last night. But look, we'll start with, we'll just fly through the results, first of all, from Friday and from Monday. Starting in the Premier Division, Friday, Shells 2, Cork 1, Pats 3, Dundalk 1, Drogs, Bows 0-0. Likewise, UCD and Rovers, that was some shock. But Derry couldn't capitalise. They lost 1-0 away to Sligo. And then last night, Pats beaten by Drogheda, that wonder goal from Dale Rooney. We'll hear from him in a little while. Dundalk 5, Cork City 0, and Bows 1, Shells 1. And in the First Division, there was just the two games. Last night, Wexford beating Longford to end Longford Town's promotion hopes. Galway celebrating their title with a win against managerless Finn Harps. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. And on Friday, Wexford beating Bray 2-1, Cove beaten Harps 5-1 in what was Dave Rogers' last game. Kerry, they, of course, were beaten 4-0 by Galway as Galway secured the title. Longford beaten by Waterford, and Treaty were very impressive winners against Athlone. So, look, we'll start with the Premier Division, Gary, and only one place to start with the title racer, the non-title race, really. Shamrock Rovers slipping up against UCD. Pats won on the night, but last night was their chance to use their game in hand to really put the pressure on. They, as you would say, filled the togs against Drogheda. And if ever there was tog filling, it was in the showgrounds where Derry City were beaten by Sligo.
Yeah, it's just, it's astonishing that like any time that there's been an opportunity for someone to, you know, make hay as Shamrock Rovers, you know, drop points or, you know, like even against UCD at home, it's insane. It was in the bowl. Wasn't it in the bowl?
Yeah, in the bowl.
You know, it's just crazy to think that of all teams, they drop points against UCD. But look, that's the way it goes. It's just disappointing. And, you know, we touched on it on last week's pod that there was an opportunity for Sligo to actually have a say in the title. And that's actually the way it's actually panned out. It's crazy to think that Sligo managed to not only get points out of this, but get all three, particularly when, you know, before a ball was kicked on Friday, there were six games left. Imagine, you know, you're looking at halftime, Derry fans looking at, oh, Jesus, it's nil-nil, surely to God, UCD will roll over soon enough, but they didn't. They managed to hold on, dig out a point, and Derry weren't able to capitalise. It's it must be desperately disappointing from Derry that they've had so many opportunities to close gaps this season and they haven't really taken any. We always get a text from Ethan when a situation like this happens, and our phones are full of instances like this all season. It's absolutely crazy. But, you know, you look at so many times this season that they just haven't been able to capitalize and close the gap. Like, and then you look at even last night, Pats dropping points at home to Drogheda, a wonderful goal, of course, but at the same time, it must be very disappointing from a Pats point of view that they had an opportunity to go ahead of Derry in the league as well, and they didn't take it either. We had a friend of mine on the pod earlier on this season. He did the predictions league here, if you remember, Snowy.
Ah, the boy.
and he texted me there yesterday, And he's like, and it's a very good question. Is this season the most tug filling season of all time?
Great. And
every week, lads are filling them. And he's probably right on the money, to be fair. It is definitely the most tug filling a season I can remember. And it's just where there's so many opportunities to capitalize on mistakes or drop points or different things that, and teams have never taken them, particularly when you look at, and even in advance of the Derry Sligo game, I think Higgins came out and said, or in the press conference or the paper or whatever, said that we've always got a good game up here. It was never a handy win or anything like that. And they weren't able to make any changes to that end. They weren't able to affect it. And, you know, it's just not good.
As I said, we got a lot of feedback from listeners on Twitter last night when we were asking for reactions about the Monday games, and a constant theme that came up was referees. I know there was a lot of talk in this Sligo game about decisions. Derry felt they should have had a penalty. What was your views on that? The man sent off as well.
I think it was a penalty, to be quite honest. But I think, wasn't it 1-1 at that point?
That would have been to make it 1-1 if they scored that penalty, let's say.
Okay, sorry, 1-0, yeah. So, you know, that would have been only rescuing a situation that you should have never been in the first place.
Yeah.
So, look, I'm not going to hang my hat on that. I don't think it's good enough. Yeah, they should have got a penalty. I can't believe the ref didn't give it. But at the end of the day, you're looking at decisions. Everybody's been blue in the face talking about refs this season. You know, are you surprised? You can't be surprised, really. I don't think it's reasonable to be surprised at something like that so far this season. But I don't think that's a good enough excuse either. You have to be doing better than that.
Quick word on UCD, obviously. Look, they were relegated officially last week, but they dig in and get a draw against the champions. And we knew before this, Andy Myler obviously won't be there next season. Just a quick word on the job he's done. I think despite what's been a very, very testing and trying year, I think he'll still walk away with, you know, in high esteem there, that he's done a good job.
Oh, certainly. I wouldn't see how you could be thinking anything else. It's always a difficult job, and we've seen countless times down through the years where teams, bigger teams come in, take the cream of the crop around UCD and bring them off, and look, they've nearly been, every star player, we'll say, in the league in the last few years has had a time at UCD. So it's look, it's unfortunate for UCD, but it's always an uphill battle for whoever's managing them. So I think Andy Myler did very well in his time, maintained the Premier status from last year, which I think was probably not undeserved, but also probably a bit of a surprise at the same time. I think they were ready to go down last year, and they managed to do a stay of execution for another season, but I think it was always going to be difficult with the players that were there, and, you know, players that were heading on to pastures new, so it was always going to be an even harder challenge than even in previous years for whoever took that job on.
Just a final word on the title race, or I'd call it a non-title race. I think there's always been this illusion of we're almost getting a race several times this season,
and then
situations like this occur where teams can capitalise on a Rovers slip-up, and we're still left with that bit of a gap. 5 points now between Rovers and Derry, and Pat's a further point back on Derry. But I interviewed Rory Higgins after the Dundalk game, where I thought Dundalk were actually the better team on the night, and poor defending cost them. And you remember Rory had said he kind of highlighted the fact that we questioned the character of Derry at times on this podcast. And
I don't remember us questioning the character.
That's where I'm going. Questioned the character, as in honesty, integrity, the players, work rate, all that. We're talking about character and bottle to win a title. I think we've said on this show, we feel that they don't have the stomach. They're not showing that they have the stomach to go and win a title this season. This is another example of that.
Ooh, that's a very good point. I think my old friend, Pedigree, the Pedigree chum, I think that has to be thought about here as well, because, you know, we've seen Rovers not great this season, still on the top of the table, digging out the points when they need to.
Yeah, they've drawn nearly a third of their games, but they've only lost four times, Rovers, so.
Yeah, and, you know, even you look at, what was it, a couple of weeks ago, Derry let them off the hook with that penalty decision up in the Brandywell. You know, there's stuff like that that just happened I'm not saying exactly like that either, but there's been games like that that have happened too often this season, and I don't think you can win a division or any league when you have instances like that. So look, it's disappointing. Do you think? Now I know we're writing it off, and we wrote
it off about 3 months ago, and we were starting to sweat here at BTS Towers. But every time since then, the Rovers have slipped up. Neither of the other two have capitalized. So I think Rovers are going to fall over the line to four in a row.
Fall over? Did you say?
Yeah,
yeah.
They might even have a little bit to spare.
That's disappointing at the same time, isn't it? It's just look, it's part of it. What can you do? It's just a fact. It's unfortunate that it has to be like that, but Rovers fans won't care. No one will ever remember, Jez, we weren't actually that great that year. No one will ever say that or remember that, so it'll be ancient history soon enough. But I think there'll be that bit of pain for Derry that they'll have for a good while after not capitalising on so many opportunities.
Moving on to the race for Europe, Shelburne beat Cork on Friday, and then Bowes obviously drew with Drogheda, and then they played each other last night and it was a draw. So Shell's ahead of Bowes now after 31 games, only a point between them. But all of a sudden, Shell's only 9 points off the top. We have to talk about the job that Damien Duff is doing there.
Have we not talked about it enough? Jeez, you're going on as if we never give him any credit.
I think he deserves more.
Off you go.
I mentioned that Rovers have only lost four. Shells have only lost five. That's the next best record in terms of least amount of defeats.
Yeah. But they're 9 points off, so they've have a lot of draws on their copybook.
Could they catch Pats? Could they get in the top three?
Geez, that'd be insane, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it? Unbelievable. That would be. Is this going to be as well? Here's another one, because we've talked about Drogheda in a minute or two. I think
Drogheda to sneak into third? Is
that no. But we've definitely highlighted the job Kevin Doherty has done there. And I think Damien Duff is doing a remarkable job at Shelburne. For me, I think you'd be looking at them as manager of the year contenders. This is going to be one of the rare years where the team that wins the league won't get manager of the year. I'd be different if Derry or Pats win it, then they're probably going to award that manager the manager of the year. But if Rovers win it, they've been below par this season. I'm not sure. Will Stephen Bradley? I think Duff and Doherty have to be right up there on the shortlist for manager of the year.
I think they're far better candidates for manager of the year. If that's, it can't be just league winning manager automatically wins manager of the year. I think there's more to it than that. There's no question in my mind that I think Duffer and Kevin Doherty are better candidates based on what they've done this season. Particularly, I think if Shelburne managed to finish in the top three, then there's no question about it. Just give it to Duff. Just hand it to him.
Did you see Duff's comments today, actually? His latest media soundbite?
No.
Very interesting stuff. They're going extremely well, as we know, but he was already talking about how he thinks he sussed out one or two players that want a handy life and don't want to do the hard yard as such, and those players will be moved on. He said that anyone thinking they're going to get an easy life here at Shelburne, they're in for a rude awakening because he'll move them on.
Well, look, that's good to hear, I suppose. It's
talk about keeping them on their toes, huh?
Yeah, and look, that's fair. Look, you want lads to be, putting themselves through it for your manager and working very hard for the club and all the rest of that. And look, I suppose at the end of the day, while this is great comment and blah blah blah, every single manager in football thinks like this. They just don't come out and say it. No one put a microphone in. Oh, if you're not doing the stuff, you go. That's not new information. It isn't though.
Fair enough. I suppose just the timing of it, isn't it? Usually you hear this type of stuff when a team is struggling towards the bottom of the table, but Shell's on a great unbeaten run in the hunt for Europe, and this is when the manager's coming out with it. It's just an interesting motivational technique. I suppose it's an insight into how Damien Duff ticks.
Well, I'll tell you, so if someone is, I'm guaranteed there's Shell's lads that are going on, looking at this stuff, if you look through their last, we'll say, 10 starting 11s, who hasn't played in the last 10 games? Do you know what I mean? So let's have a look, because I have a lad in my mind. Remain nameless. Is he even there still?
I have no idea who you're talking about, neither do the listeners, so this isn't great podcasting.
No, it's not. Park that one.
Where do you see this battle for the top four? Shells, Bows, Dundalk are out of it, in my opinion.
Duh.
Believe it or not, they're only 4 points off Shells. It's quite congested at the top six, but Bows
are only 1 point off.
Where
forget about Dundalk, right? I know you love them, and I know you love Stephen O'Donnell.
Pat Shells, Bows, in what order there, from Tara downwards, or even Derry? Or Derry going to finish second? Give me your second down to fifth.
Derry, exactly as it is right now.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. It's not exactly insightful. But there, you're playing UCD next. You'd imagine they won't. They'll win that game. Pats are playing
UCD again. It seems like they play UCD every few days.
It does. But that was a game I was at a couple of weeks ago, or three or four weeks.
That was during the French window.
Just suited to play that game because I think the game was cancelled or something like that. Or those League Cup. Some of the rubbish, it was booked to that Wednesday. Was it? Okay. So the squeeze that game in, so it was moved from a good journey back, I think, in July then, if it's Europe. I think Shelburne, you can't be too disappointed with finishing fifth or fourth.
No.
I think that'll be... We don't think that Bows will win the cup.
No.
So that coupled with... You know, and particularly if they lose in the final, which would be obviously agony. To finish behind Shells as well wouldn't be tasty. But look, they're value for it. It has to be said, to lose only five games this season.
Very consistent. Yeah. Very, very consistent.
Pats have lost 10, like, so mad.
When you put it like that. Looking at, I suppose, further down the table, the relegation battle, Dundalk are... They have enough points on the board to avoid that. Drogheda are okay as well.
2 minutes ago, you were saying that they might go up the table.
I was just saying, in terms of points, I said they have no hope of finishing the top four. Sligo, obviously, that win against Derry, really, that kind of confirms Cork as being in the playoffs. And that's where I want to go to next, because I was at the game in Oriel Park last night. And I know a couple of Cork fans already seen some of my tweets from the game last night against Dundalk, but this is a word I would very, very rarely use to describe a performance from a football team. But what I saw from the Cork City players last night was disgusting.
Second, they did it.
They totally phoned it in from minute one to minute 90. They didn't want to be there. Bar the only two players that he was right in front of me for most of the game, and he's getting quite a bit of stick online. I haven't seen as many Cork games, obviously, as other clubs, but in terms of last night, even though his team was getting a hiding, he kept running, ran himself into the ground. That was Aaron Bulger, and Rory Keaton did the same as well. He was throwing himself around and trying to make something happen. The rest of them phoned it in from minute one. And I'm not one for... there was talk of this... after Dundalk got pumped up in Galway a few weeks ago, there was a couple of Dundalk fans on Twitter saying, oh, fans that travel should have got refunds and all the rest. And I wouldn't be one that subscribes to that, because it's football, you pay your admission ticket, you know, whatever happens, happens. But there was a small handful of Cork fans that travelled last night, and for me, they should be getting refunds, because they went to see a team try and compete on a football pitch, and the players phoned it in. They totally phoned it in. It was an absolute disgrace. Players pulling out of tackles on the edge of their own penalty area. You can see why Cork are where they are. We've spoken about it a bit this season, and we've seen clips of Cork players throwing the hands up, stuff like that.
And yeah,
that was rampant last night. Rampant.
Yeah, that's
against the Dundalk team that are vulnerable. Don't forget, Dundalk had come into this game after thumping against Galway, beaten by Pats. And they had a makeshift back four last night. Sloggett was playing in the back four. And very stupidly, in the first... When did Dundalk score their first goal last night? 18 minutes.
Very...
First 10 or 15 minutes, I was at it, and I was looking at Dundalk playing this crazy high line that they like to play with the likes of Sloggett in a centre half. And I was like, they're going to get caught. So I went on to me betting app, and I said, Rory Keaton, first goal score. Because I could see big issues in the Dundalk setup. But Cork just weren't good enough to exploit it. And once they conceded the first goal, they literally threw the towel in Cork. But a better team will exploit this Dundalk team. I was actually talking to a Dundalk fan today, and he said the exact same. He was like, you know, great result, great score and all the rest. But he's like, there's still big, big problems with this team. And I was like, fair play to you for not being blinded by the scoreline last night. I'm not trying to downplay what was a good performance from Dundalk, but anyone would have bet Cork last night. Longford Town would have bet Cork last night. Particularly if you look back at the fourth goal for Durant. He picks the ball over on the... He was unmarked all night, by the way. We were... Kira was with me and she kept just shouting, give it to Durant. Like, he was totally unmarked that the entire game. He just went out to the touchline. Nobody went near him. Ball is switched over to him. He's on the wing. Receives it on the wing. He runs across the penalty area, unchallenged, into the penalty area and just picks a spot and puts it in. Great goal, but not a glove laid on him.
Yeah, that was particularly bad, wasn't it? Like, that's unforgivable stuff, that is. Yeah. And even like, you know, you're talking about, and we're not talking about hurting anybody here, of course, but like, you know, lift a lad, absolutely go through a fella and, you know, get booked or whatever, just to lift your own team, you know, change the, and I'm not saying you're going to change the momentum of the game, particularly that was the fourth goal. So you're not going to get anything out of the game at that point, but like, God, you have to do something. And yeah, I don't really know. It's really hard to picture. You know, we've said a number of times this season about there isn't a hope of anybody, whoever wins the first division playoff, of getting out of it, beating the Premier Division team. And look, we know it's, by all likelihood, it's going to be Cork.
Yeah,
I don't really know.
Night, I'd find it very difficult to... The only way in recent years, really, that the first division team has triumphed in the playoffs is when there's been a kind of a catastrophe in the camp of the Premier Division team. You think of that Shells team that lost to Longford.
Aye.
Like, they were gone. They were just done at the game. All sorts going on within the dressing room. And Longford capitalised on that. And I look at the Cork team last night. They've just totally given up. Totally given up. And you look at the manager or the interim manager, whatever he is, sporting director, that's been filling in. You look at his post-match interview last night. I know what's he going to say? It doesn't matter what he says. You've lost 5-0. It doesn't matter what he says after the game. His interview was 55 seconds. Now, I appreciate the interviewer, you know, gave him an easier time. As I said, what's the point in hammering him? You know, you've lost 5-0. Doesn't matter what you say. But just... Even watching Buckley on the sideline last night, nothing, no energy, no nothing coming from him. It's just like they're coasting to relegation. It's like it's an acceptance now at this stage. And that is, as I said, entirely wrong for the supporters that travelled.
Yeah, I'd have sympathy for them. No question about it. Obviously, we've made very many trips down through the years and we've gotten less than that even. But I think it's... I don't know how you could look at that. I can't imagine being in the car.
No.
You know, going for
even I'm sure you've seen the video. I think it was Kian Coleman, wasn't it? Went over to apologise to the supporters. And I think the supporters were letting them know what they thought. But like that entire Cork team should have been over on their hands and knees in front of the supporters, begging for forgiveness. I've seen every team in the two leagues this year, at least once. I think that might have been my first time seeing Cork live last night. And by far and away, that was the worst performance from any team across the two divisions. By far and away. Like, I've seen UCD a couple of times this year. I seen them on the opening night against Dundalk when they got a draw. So, like, obviously there's been bad performances since then. But I can only base it on the actual games I've attended. I've seen every team at least once. That Cork team last night were an absolute disgrace. I haven't seen anything like that in a good few years in the League of Ireland, where a team just totally down tools on the night. And I have no issue saying that. Anyone wants to challenge me on that, go ahead. That was an absolute disgrace what happened on the pitch in Oria last night.
And but like, just on that, right, because I wasn't there and you were there. Like, you mentioned Bulger and Keating.
Hmm.
And I'm sure you had plenty of sympathy for both. Were you... were they... going after, like, were they hammering their
no, there was no talk on the pitch, nothing, no communication between players,
right? Yeah, so like
bit of mouthing at officials here and there. I was like, you're 4-0 down, lad, what are you mouthing to a linesman for?
over a wrong throw in or something.
And actually, one player to come on off the bench, and he had a lot to say for a lad that was coming off the bench when his team was three or four down or whatever it was. Jiz Kabea came on. All he'd done was throw himself to the ground.
Right.
He got involved in a bit of a verbal exchange with Archie Davis. And I absolutely, me and you, we've called for it, more rustling in this league. Yuli Koko got the ball after there was a bit of, I think Davis got a yellow card, him and Kabea kind of were squaring up or whatever, and Davis pushed him over. Davis got a yellow. That was grand.
Yeah.
Yuli Koko was like, I'm going to go and put this boy in his box. He got the ball. He nutmegged Kabea, and he turned and he just smiled or laughed or said something to him as he done it. And I was like, excellent rustling. But the what I seen on the pitch last night and what I seen, as I said, from the lack of anything coming from the touchline.
Yeah.
Cork are just there. They're ready to go down right now.
Yeah, it's going to be very hard to rectify stuff like that coming into, you know, a promotion relegation playoff like that. That's hard to come back from. I think, like, even with the quietness on the pitch, and, you know, we've seen other teams do that where they've kind of just dwindled out and let the season go by them.
For me, that comes from the touchline.
Yeah, it does come from the touchline, but it has to be the right type. Like, I still, what O'Donnell does on the touchline.
Last night, there were three or four up and he's sprinting up and down the touchline. I'm not looking for that, but.
Yeah, that's just stupid. But what, you can't be so passive and then look for all the excitement and intensity when as a manager is so passive. And look, I think that's what we get with Liam Buckley, certainly
100%.
That's the mood he was in yesterday, if you look at his post-match interview. So
yeah.
4-0 like that against a team who took an awful pace and not too long ago against Galway, you would have been expecting to be a bit closer to them, but for something like that, it's just desperate. So look, there's a big job on down there. I think there's even more pressure probably on Dermot Usher. And even, I think, old Buckley was getting pelters as well.
Yeah, well, look, someone needs to take a hold of the situation down there, because at the moment it looks like a club that is rudderless.
Yeah, 100%. I'd be in full agreement with that. Like, I don't see what's the next step. Like, you know, you always think
the first division,
you get promoted. Yeah, it is. It looks like it. But, like, you always think, like, okay, we need to get into the Premier. We just stay in there, keep it going, keep it tight and blah, blah, blah. And you stay in the division. That's the goal. And you see what you do from there. But it's going to be very difficult to do that this season for Cork.
Yeah. As I said, we'll be getting to some of the listeners' tweets from last night in a moment or two. We're just going to run through the first division first of all. Friday night, Wexford 2. Bray 1. Actually, I've gone through these results already, so let's just pick up on the main. we haven't done a pod since Galway won the title on Friday, Gary. So, first of all, we'll have to start by congratulating JC and Ollie Horgan. A tremendous job done there this year, and it could be better yet. Who knows? They might win the FAI Cup, but they certainly won the league on Friday night.
They did, certainly, yeah. And a fair play to them. They've been waiting to be crowned for a number of weeks, to lose months even, to lose twice this season is obviously a great achievement. Twice in 32 games is insane, but particularly they've only dropped points in 6 games this year, which is just an incredible achievement, it has to be said. So fair play to JC and all his staff and players, to be fair.
Yeah, and one of his staff, of course, is Ollie Horgan, former Harps manager. Here's a nice little link. Dave Rogers gone from Ballybuffet, beaten 5-1 on Friday by Cove. They led in that game, but they were hammered in the end. And then we got the statement a few days later to say that due to personal reasons that Dave Rogers was stepping down. Obviously, I know Dave quite well, a number of years, and I have chatted to him since, and I'm obviously not going to reveal any personal secrets or anything, but you know, he has stepped down for personal reasons, and I think it says in the statement family reasons. I think some of the, like, it obviously comes with the territory, and you know, he's a manager, I suppose, that has put himself out there on social media, and we kind of talked about that at the time, didn't we, that he was always leaving himself vulnerable with, I suppose, being so transparent with maybe how he does things on Twitter, that when results turned, that he was always going to be open to criticism in that regard. But I just think there's been a lot of comments online that folly, been just a bit unfair. Like, it hasn't worked. It didn't work this season for them. You know, we were promised this revolution that they were going to move away from Ollie Ball as such, and we're going to see a more progressive Harps and all the rest. And we've seen them a few times this season. They're just a poor, poor side. But I just want to say I wish Dave and obviously his family all the best, and hopefully everything works out for him. That's the most important thing. But I think people just need to remember that, like, there is a person behind all of this at the same time.
Yeah. Well. I'm not taking away from any of that, and I'm saying I'll pile in anyway. I think if we'll say we've always said we talk on a podcast, so we're putting ourselves out there, so we expect it back. You know, like, you can't just be like, you know, put ourselves out there and then not expect any grief.
Ah, you know, like, yeah. Results are results, and performances are performances. They're to be scrutinized. But I think people, like,
when was the last time Harps won a game?
No, but I just think people talking about, oh, here we go, he's using the personal situation thing, you know, they got thumped, that's the reason he's gone. I think people just need to be like, there is a person there, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I do know what you mean, yeah. But like, the last, like, at the end of the day, the last time they won a game was at the end of August against Skerries.
Yeah, no, it's been a disaster.
Yeah, it's been desperate.
And the problem is now, like, a lot of them players are signed up for next year. And clearly not good enough.
Oh, no, brutal. Brutal. Absolutely brutal. I'm not really sure.
And, like, where is the whole project now? This word project that we like to throw around in football so much. Like,
was Galway's one a few years ago?
Project DNA.
Oh, that was good crack. That was great, actually. But go on, sorry.
Like, obviously this was supposed to be a revolution, you know, more progressive style of football, younger players, everyone based in Donegal, all the rest. It hasn't worked. So do they try and appoint someone again in that Dave Rogers mold, maybe someone that's working with an under-23 team in England or underage football here or something like that, and just accept they're going to be working with younger players? Or do they go for someone like an Ollie Horgan that is going to get you results? It might be pretty on the eye. You know, they've got a decision to make now all of a sudden, when they thought this man was going to be there for 4 years at the very least.
Look, it's never easy. And I think it was obviously a huge decision to make, putting Dave Rogers in, simply because it was such a departure from what they had seen for the previous 6-7 years.
Yeah.
So they have a huge decision to make. I think they have a bit of time, because there's 5 games left in the season. It doesn't really make a bag of difference now. Who's going to, what type of person you're looking to get in?
Yeah, and plus we don't know either. Like, for all we know, Dave maybe has suggested in recent weeks or last while that, look, there's issues here that I might have to step away. So they might have had a heads up on this. Or it could have just come out of the blue. We don't know. So maybe they have been talking to people, or certainly weighing up their options anyway. But yeah, I suppose they do have a few games left. But either way, you'd still want to get a manager in there really to see what he's got to work with. But then if he's got a lot of players that are tied down for next year anyway, sure, what can he do really?
Well, this is it, and I think that's a major problem.
Big problem.
Yeah, if he's stuck with a handful of lads, whoever comes in, and you're thinking, right, well, these lads are signed up for another year, so no matter what way you slice it, you have, we'll say, 12 lads that you can't get rid of, even if you don't rate any of them.
Mm.
That's an awful decision. And that is a bit of it certainly makes it a bit more difficult for when you're trying to attract a manager.
Definitely.
To the club, because you're going, right, lads, we've 12 anchors to put around you. And also they've taken X amount of budget as well. So very difficult situation. There's no question about that. So hopefully they get the right person in there and turns it around, because it, as we said, I said for a good while, it just hasn't worked.
So look, they were the two big stories in the first division over the weekend. Galway winning the title, Dave Rogers' departure from Finn Harps. I suppose the next thing we look at in the first division is the race for the playoffs. Is that race all done and dusted now? Athlone have stepped down to fifth, which is hard to believe. Wexford have climbed up to fourth. We'll be talking about Wexford in depth in a moment. But Longford find themselves 8 points outside the playoffs, and Treaty also 8 points outside of the playoffs, and those two teams meet at the weekend. But I suppose we'll start with the easiest thing we can talk about, Gary, is Longford Town. Their season is done and dusted.
Looks to be. 12 points available, 4 games left, 8 points to make up. I think I was talking to one of the regular listeners last night, and he made a good point. We still have to play at loan, so if we gather up 2 wins,
it's gone.
I'm just saying, if
the most disappointing thing, look, obviously, I don't know what you expected, but at the start of the year, I didn't expect Longford to be in the playoffs because of numerous things we've highlighted throughout the year: young players, injuries, all the rest. Total rebuild, blah, blah, blah. But Longford looked like they were getting themselves in a position after the July window. They brought in players. They got players back off the treatment table.
Yep.
They were playing well, getting good results. And then the win against Galway. And it looked like everything was on the up and up. And we said on this podcast, there's no way Longford won't be in the playoffs come the end of the season. Then the Kerry game happened. And obviously all the headlines that came with the Kerry game. And I think certainly all that off-field, all the off-field baggage that came with that match, I think that has definitely affected Longford in the weeks that have followed. But even before that, the performance itself in Kerry was extremely flat, and then they played Shells in a friendly. You said it was just extremely flat Friday against Waterford. And I didn't watch the game last night, but from talking to you and other lads that were watching it, flatter again. So why has Longford
your eyeballs last night like that?
Like, what's changed from the Galway game to now?
Jesus, lad, if I could tell you that, I wouldn't be chatting to you on a podcast every week. I genuinely don't know.
It's like a switch has just been flicked. It's like something's broken. I can't put my finger on it. Just something doesn't feel right at the moment.
Yeah, it's like Spanish Buzz in Toy Story, like switch at the back made of hands of him. I don't really know. I think the Kerry game, and you're right, like aside from on the game itself, Longford were not at it.
No.
And I think that probably damaged them, apart from like all the other stuff outside of that game. I think the performance and probably the expectation that they had, not saying that they were fully going down there, rocking in and going to bait the life out of Kerry, but I think they had maybe individually, we're going to beat these lads and we just need to go and do it. And when that didn't happen, I think that led to, oh Jesus, we've put ourselves back in our plan for the rest of the season. Mm. We've dropped 2 points that would have made life a lot easier. And would have put a different face on, we'll say, the two games last Friday and last night. Longford hadn't dropped any points to Wexford or to Waterford this season, and the last time they played, they've beaten Wexford twice this season.
Mm.
So you would have been in a far more positive frame of mind heading into those two games in quick succession. So I think the Kerry game was obviously a big turning point. As regards what exactly happened, you know, I'm just talking about football-wise. Dressing room, I generally don't know. It doesn't look great. It doesn't look the most, you know, it just doesn't, it's not ticking. And to go from the heights of Galway, beating Galway for the second time this season, to that must have been a bit of a shock to maybe some players, and then it might have been very hard to rectify that football wise. So on the two games, Friday was, what went right on Friday? The stream went well.
Jack Brady made a great save.
Yeah.
Should deny Coughlin. Actually, Coughlin, you know, the own goal.
Yeah.
I seem to say he's been accredited that goal. I can't make sense of that.
What?
Like, it makes no difference to me, but like it's clearly an OG, but I don't know how they've reached that.
It's not going near the goal.
I
don't even watch the games. It's brutal. I think nothing went right on Friday. Longford were not at the races.
And you said last night, was it 90 minutes before they had a shot on goal against Wexford last night?
Yeah, Brian Pittmarsh, after amazing work by Magerson, he got by a couple of lads. And he shouldn't have won either ball, to be fair to him. And he plays in Orion Whitmarsh, and he had a shot well saved by Mason in goals. But I think, I just think like over the last couple of games, like I don't think a pass has went right to a lad's foot. Mm. Pass is short. Why, like, you know, not to the player. The player has to take a lot, you know, do a day's work to take the ball down. It's been absolutely fired at his knee. You know, it's just, you wonder what players are at to a large extent. But even, like I thought, let's say on Friday in particular, the decision making from Longford Town was deplorable. And I think it's players will be very disappointed with how they've let the season get away from them after, you know, we'll say the suffering that they had to go through until they started to get players back and a couple of players in over the summer. So a lot of players that are there had to dig deep a lot this year, and then to let it fall to bits like that is very disappointing. But look, it's we knew that, like, well, Waterford are fine; they're ready for the playoffs. Wexford, I think.
We'll move to Wexford. Yeah. Obviously, they're the team that put the nail in the Longford coffin last night. But
yeah,
we've got a lot right on this podcast this year, right? Not to blow our own trumpets, but Sligo.
I think we've had a very good year.
We've had a great year with long-term predictions. Like Sligo, we were talking about that. You were talking about it probably two seasons ago. I was talking about it middle of last season, that they were on the decline. What else have we done? Dundalk this year, called that. Been a Cork. Bit of a mess. Cork, we called that.
That wasn't a big one either.
No, but there's been loads of things that we've called right this year. Right. One thing that we've probably got wrong is Wexford. We were very, very harsh on Wexford earlier in the season, and particularly James Keddie. But in the second half of the season, they've really turned their form around, and they've done it quietly. They've gone under the radar. You'll remember I was getting messages off. There's a couple of Wexford fans I keep in contact with, and they were sending me little updates during the year, and we were kind of highlighting some of the concerns that they had.
Yeah.
So what I did today, I decided to, because I hadn't talked to these lads in a while, funny enough, when results started to go well, there was less complaints coming through, but I texted them today and I just said, like, what's changed from the midsummer break till now in terms of on the pitch, off the pitch? You remember that we were talking about kind of there was concerns and complaints that the new management team weren't interacting enough with fans and stuff like that. Yep. So I got touch base with just a couple of extra fans today to see.
You never told me this, but go on.
What's changed? The lad I was chatting, he said, look, it's a hard one to call. He said the management team's definitely more animated on the sideline than they were earlier in the season, because you remember that was a complaint. But they said that the loan signings that have come in the summer are all playing well, and it seems to be a very happy camp. He mentioned as well that James Keddie, early in the season, there's a small group of lads that are traveling to games at big expenses, and James Keddie paid for a bus to Athlone, and kind of that's built up a bit of a camaraderie there. As I said, he's mentioned some of the loan players that have come in, but just little bits and pieces here that he's mentioned that has changed, I suppose, the course of their season. But look, either way, they've turned it around in the second half of the year. They missed out on the playoffs last year, and they're very much looks like they're going to be in it this year, and they were only, 10 minutes away from knocking Cork out of the FAI Cup last weekend. So it's been a very successful season so far.
Yeah, and look, I suppose it shows the way we think about football. You win a game, you're the best lad ever. You lose a game, you're the worst lad. But I think, the loan signings have obviously made a difference. And of course, windows, you know.
Yeah, the lads mentioned Cian O'Malley and Luke Brown coming in at the back. They said that for such young lads, they've brought massive authority to the back line. And obviously, as I mentioned, for the lad they brought in from Waterford as well, Thomas Alua. So
yeah,
loan signings have been very, very important.
Yeah, and I think, I know James Keddie brought them in, but he also brought in the other boys. So, like, you know, you have to take it in its totality. I remember there was a few tweets, particularly when Longford weren't going, or in a kind of revival period, and we bet Wexford for the second time. There was like, no manager should stay.
Yeah.
after losing against Longford twice in a season, this Longford team twice in a season. So it's very easy to go, oh, Keddy, oh my God, manager this season.
No, I'm not going that far.
No, I know you're not, right? But there's a lot of Wexford lads that are. And
The lads I was chatting to today said they both still have reservations about certain things, but you have to give the manager credit. They're up to fourth, and that was unthinkable a while back. So
yeah, but all I'm saying is that you can't just go, oh, the great lad, and then after a half a season of dirt. That's
as you said, you have to take things in its totality. And if Wexford finish in the playoffs, that's a very successful season because they haven't been competitive in the first division for a long, long time. So. They've been building towards this. It's weird. It looked like they were building towards this last year, and then Ian Ryan left, and there was Wexford had to rebuild as well. I know they went and signed half the Longford Town team, but it was still a new squad for them. But it seems like the club has slowly been edging towards this over the last couple of seasons, and it looks like they might finally get their rewards now. Although how far they can go in the playoffs will be another question.
Well, to be honest, we've seen them a few times this season. Unfortunately, didn't get to see them in the flesh last night. I don't think I know Al Ronan was saying on commentary last night, and fair play to him for doing it by himself. Wouldn't catch you having to do it by yourself for the town, but I think Ronan described it. I'm not hammering Ronan here either. Just describe it as a complete performance. I think that undersells how bad Longford Town were. Right, if that's a complete performance from Wexford, their run in the playoffs would be one, playoff tie. They'd be blown apart. That is not what they were good, and they probably, I would have liked to, if as bad as Longford were, they should have been creating more chances. I know they did have a few chances they could have done a bit better with, but they should have been putting Longford under far more pressure than they were. Longford could barely put two passes together last night, and I don't think Wexford capitalised enough on it. So I think Wexford still have a way to go if they're going to go far or deep in the playoffs. But last night is definitely no measure of it.
Yeah, look, as we said, they haven't been in the playoffs in a long, long time. So just to get there is the first step, and then next year you want to see more progression from them. But so far, so good for Wexford. Final word on the first division before we move on to some listeners' tweets. If we're assuming that Longford are out of the playoff race, 8 points behind, Treaty are also 8 behind, are they out of the playoff race? Or could a win against Longford the weekend just keep them in there?
Just about. Galway are playing at Lone at the weekend. Are Galway going to... What team? I know they still have a FAI Cup semi-final.
Yeah, you'd imagine to be resting players for that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, there could be a third loss of the season for Galway and Athlone. If Athlone win that game, it's over.
Yeah.
So, we'll say by the time we go to bed Friday night, it could be all over. So, Saturday will be even less important. I think if Longford win if Longford win on Saturday, then what are you talking about Treaty?
Because Longford aren't playing well. There's no the last three performances that they're beyond flat. I keep using the word flat, but I can't see the town recovering from the last three performances. They've just been shocking bad. So I just think the season. I said it at the time, even before all of the other stuff came out after the Kerry game. Full-time whistle blew that night. I turned to Kieran and I said, that's the season over. It's going to fizzle out. I can sense it. And that's exactly what's happening. Let's get to some listener questions. We've got a lot of them. Albert Mulligan just said, his tweet says, just this, and it's a clip of the Chris Forrester penalty incident against Drogheda last night. How was that not given?
One of the poor decisions that we've seen this season.
He was brilliant, by the way, last night, Forrester, as well. Some of the ball wizardry he was at last night, ball manipulation, just a joy to watch.
Yeah, look, sure, we know he's
even that. Even for that non-penalty there, the little turn on the edge of the box to actually carry him inside into the penalty area.
Absolutely. No, look, he's a baller, but you don't need us to tell you that. I think you're looking at the ref is in a good position. How did he not catch that?
There's no way it's a dive anyway.
No, it's not a dive. And it's just a desperate decision. I suppose though, you're you know, as a ref, you're probably thinking injury time, need an equalizer. You know, yeah. you're probably on the lookout for dives. But unfortunately, this wasn't one, and the ref got it wrong.
Peter Sullivan says, Coleman, so that's Cian Coleman, at the end of the game, saying to away fans, it's not their fault, so whose is it? Well, look, we don't know. I was there last night, and I could actually see that kind of thing unfolding. I knew there was something going on over there, but I'm obviously the opposite side of the pitch, so I wasn't surprised when I seen a video after. I knew there was some sort of words been exchanged over there, but I don't know who said what and who didn't say what, so I don't know what went on over there, but just as I said, the whole Cork team should have been over there, Buckley included, on their hands and knees, begging for forgiveness. That's all I'll say. Liam Ruth, who's a Wexford fan, said, how did that Longford team beat Galway twice this season? And that's got the most likes of any of the questions. So people just love sticking it into us, but that's fair enough. That's what we're here for. Look, I don't know what's gone wrong in the last couple of weeks, but it hasn't. Season's over. Bill Dorney.
Well, just on that, same Longford team bet Wexford twice this season and shouldn't have lost in Bishopsgate in the first game. So like it took what a nine or was it a free kick or something like that? In the last
I remember it was a freak goal. I remember was it a shot? Oh,
a shot that hit off Dobbs. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, you know, probably Longford, that should have been Longford's first loss of the season against Wexford. So maybe look closer to home, Liam.
Bill Dorney just says, embarrassing to be a Cork City supporter. Laura Kearney, that's a Pats fan, just says, referees again. Yep, back her up on that. Dylan, I won't read out his one. Patrick Maher, looks like Drogheda are having a competition among themselves for this year's goal of the season. Rooney now has at least three entries to go with Robinson, Brennan and McNally, to name only a few. What's the best goal you've seen this season live, Gaz, at any game?
Live?
Mm.
Jenny.
Hard to recall them, isn't it? Like, because I know we've definitely seen some good goals at Town games this year, but it's hard to think back to them. I was thinking about this today, I know I've done a few like match reports and stuff this season where I've said, oh, this could be a goal of the season contender, but the only one I can actually recall at the moment off the top of my head, I remember Louis Ansley scoring an unbelievable goal for Dundalk against Rovers where he went on a solo run and he just smashed off his left foot into the top corner. That's probably the best goal I've seen live that I can just think of off the top of my head at the moment, but Dale Rooney's last night, I would have loved to have been there for that.
Yeah, I think Longford's goal against Galway, the most recent game, that was
very, very different type of goal, but
more satisfying goal, definitely, because it was just really well worked. And you know, it's also against Galway, who only lost twice this season, and all the rest of it. And Longford were, you know, we needed to win that game to, you know, put a shot in the arm of the season in the push for promotion, and they went and did it. So I think, in the context of the whole game, and then, Obviously, from a Town perspective, it's easy to say yes. I think that there's probably been a few goals that I think some of the Derry goals in the bowl recently. I know they were let do it in a lot of ways, but I can't remember who scored them. One or two of those goals anyway was very good.
Even Rooney's last night, though, visually it's so pleasing. It's a packed stadium, you know. It's just
what about Perreault's goal?
Oh, jeez, how could we forget that? Yeah. Perreault against Longford, that was unbelievable, yeah.
Yeah, but I think
they've had a few bangers as well. Campion Hines has had a few belters for them too. But we weren't at them games, so probably Ansley the best I've seen live this season.
I think Perreault was technically
sensational. Cormac Murphy, poor officiating all round, but Drogs are now all but guaranteed another year in the Premier. What a job Kevin and Dara are doing. Look, I think we say that every week, really, don't we?
Well, you do anyway. I think it has to be between Kevin Doherty and Damien Duff. Don't think there's any question for that, really.
Again, a lot of these comments this week are decision themed. Paul, who's a Bowes fan, was the disallowed goal for Bowes, this is against Shells, the correct decision? Goalkeeper dropped the ball under pressure, or was it deemed a foul by Afolabi? Well, it was deemed a foul, but
never.
Yeah, it was very soft. It's one of those that you're almost expecting the whistle to go because it's a goalkeeper. So I wasn't like, oh, Jesus. You're almost expecting the whistle to go. You just can't challenge goalkeepers anymore. So, yeah, probably was a very soft decision. But in terms of worst decisions I've seen this season, I think because it's a goalkeeper, you're half expecting it. It wasn't that bad, probably.
Just before you get on to that, I think that is something that really needs to be looked at. You know, all the authorities all the time are looking at how we're tweaking this rule and this and that and the other. Goalkeepers are getting away with absolute murder on the pitch. It's a travesty. That was never a foul. That goal should have never been disallowed. Some really, really bad ones this season. Look, I can't think of them all because I'm trying to think of 10 games every week. So I can't think of them all. But like, I know there's been a couple of desperate decisions. I could say even, fair enough, you take that one there the other night, Derry and Sligo. The keeper got away with murder. He nearly took a lad's head clean off him the other night. Who was in goals for Sligo now? What's his name?
Brush.
Was that Brush?
Brushy, the boy.
Jesus Christ.
Long time since he was the boy.
Absolutely. Okay, I'll give him a pass. He's, you know, that would have been a penalty probably 10 years ago. But the way the protection the keepers get these days is just far, it's just complete overkill. Shouldn't be the case at all. Last night was another bad decision. Nothing happened in that. And Brush certainly gave away a penalty that would have rescued a solitary point for Derry, but wasn't given. And you know, a few bad decisions across the league. So yeah, sorry, you're coming on to a bit of a juicy question there.
I said earlier the question there from the Wexford fan about Longford got the most likes. There's actually one that has a few more likes. It's again from a Wexford fan. It's the man himself, Ronan McCarthy. He says, Wexford haven't packed it in, Gary.
Well, just about. He had to wait a very long time. He probably had that tweet saved
in the back pocket.
Absolutely. And look, yeah, fair play. Totality of the season, there's no question about it. But you know, you can't deny that it was fairly grim there for a very long time.
Travis, Pat seriously need a striker. Wouldn't be talking about the ref if we had someone who could actually bag high XG chances. Jeez, here we go. Our listeners are getting very technical with the questions now. But I mentioned it as a concern, I think, on the last pod about Pat's maybe staying credentials in any sort of title race.
Yeah.
Carty is out injured. Lonergan has obviously stepped up and done well in recent games, but if he doesn't fire, you're looking for someone like has Mark Doyle done enough this year? I know he's not an out and out striker, but for the quality of player he is, does he dig you out enough when you need it?
I don't think so. I really don't. I think there's been probably a few chances that you would have expected him. I think he scored a banger earlier on this season that you wouldn't have expected anybody to score. But I don't think there's enough bailing out, and I think it's been a serious problem for them this season, where like Owen Doyle leaving and retiring is obviously not ideal from a St. Pat's point of view. You're relying on him to do a lot for you.
Even at that, like, he hasn't been a prolific goal scorer since he returned to the league.
No, but he probably,
like, you're looking at Forrester as the top scorer. Now, quite a few of them are penalties, I think, but like, he's stupid thing to say, if he wasn't there, there'd be an even bigger trouble. That's obvious. Like, he's one of the best players in the league. But even we've praised Mulroney so much on the podcast this season, he's gone very cold over the last while.
Yeah, he has, and he's got a few bangers
off,
this season.
Sent off last night.
Yeah, look, I only seen the highlights of this. Very hard to see the decision. For some reason, on the LOE TV highlights, they show a rubbish goal. 12 highlights from every angle possible, but an actual red card decision. Nah, we won't show that. Very annoying. But I think there are players that you would have hoped would have scored a few more goals than they have had. And I really like the look of Carty. Of Carty.
Again, though, it doesn't strike me as maybe being the most prolific goal scorer. He's a nuisance up there. He's physical for a young lad. Like, he's a real thorn in the side of the defences and good at bringing other players into the game. But he's probably not going to get you 10 or 15 goals a season.
Yeah, but what age is he?
He's only on loan from Bolton, so.
Yeah, but like he's probably only 18, so like you're not going to get
older than that, I think. But anyway,
is he? Oh, whatever. But like you're not going to like his first probably go a real senior football. So you know, I think probably a major disappointment.
To be like, does any team have that striker in the league?
No, Afolabi.
Afolabi, yeah.
And that's only in the last 3-4 months.
Yeah, because like as I said, Forrester's top scorer in the league. Keaton's next. Keaton in a better team probably would score even more goals.
Oh yeah. Well, he's also in a Cork next season.
But like you look at, I think Pat Hooban still has 10 or 11 goals this season. But
what?
Like really? we've spoken about this before. Like in 10 years ago, you would have needed 20+ goals to win the Golden Boot, and now you can win it with 13 or 14. It's just supposed to get the way the game has gone. It's so possession based and all the rest. But anyway, look, let's move on. Julian Canny, shells back to the early season approach, deserved halftime lead, but no intention of going for a second goal. Then when Bose equalised, they couldn't adjust. A 94th minute throw in against the Bose corner flag and shells didn't put anyone in the box. But Julian, you just worry about how Galway are going to stay up next season, lad. But no, look, offer he's got them this far with his approach, so
I think it was, you know, good to maintain their position ahead
of goals.
You know, I think that's not a huge you know, you don't get any medals for that. Well, Bose might give themselves another cup for finishing ahead of Shells, but I don't think you don't win. It'd be good for the fans because they, you know, they've been in such disarray for so long, to be able to, you know, finish in such a high position. I think that's where Duffer is focusing on, and I think he's going to be playing chess now for the next little while, or until the end of the season, rather than worrying about winning games.
Our mate Gitz, Pat's fan, he says we were never going to be in a title race, simply not good.
Oh, no,
you not can't playing say well that. At all. They haven't been playing well. It's strange. I've been looking at a lot of different stuff online regarding Pats, and I wouldn't say people are questioning John Daly. I wouldn't say they're overly in love with him either, for a man that's, you know, had such a good run of results since he took that job.
So you don't think they've had... Say that again, sorry.
For John Daly, he's had a really good run of results since he came in there. Like,
okay, he has had. Yeah, sorry, I thought you said the opposite. Go on.
No, but like for a fella that would have such a good, let's say, win rate or whatever since he came in and has got them in some sort of a title race, I don't think the Pats fans are overly wedded to him.
Why do you think that is? What do Pats fans want?
They'll probably get to a cup final. Just going to be viewed as Tim Clancy's number two? And cut from the same cloth type thing.
Yeah, but they're getting better results and they're playing better football.
And a lot of Pats fans would say that the football is not great at the minute. Interesting one. We could do with a few Pats fans getting onto us about that.
I will say one thing. You can't just say, I know, Git, you're a dedicated listener and a fellow kebab lover, so that is you're A1 in my book. But you can't go, oh, we're never in a race. No, never happening for us. You know, when it's kind of on the way out now.
Yeah, long for time we're never in the playoff race. We never mentioned
exactly. Never wanted to be there. Yeah. Come on.
It's more fun in the first division, that old nonsense that people come out with. Right, Leicester, we've got a serious amount of questions. Great to see you. Thanks to everyone that sent in. Cove Sports, major turnaround at Wexford. Keddie was in your firing line for a few months, and rightfully so. But he's turned it around quickly and on a great run. What has happened at Longford just hasn't clicked all season. I think we've covered most of that, but thanks to Cove Sports for the question.
I'll never forget what he did to us in 2022. Donus dirty.
Yeah, no, look, I think that's all the questions covered. So again, thanks to everyone who sent those in. What we're going to do next is we're going to hear from the man who scored that remarkable goal last night. Dale Rooney joins us on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. And then after this, we'll look ahead to this weekend's matches. Now, I'm delighted to say we are joined on this week's Between the Stripes LOI podcast by the man that has broken League of Ireland Twitter overnight. That's Dale Rooney. His sensational goal giving Drogheda a massive win against St. Pat's last night at Richmond Park. Delighted to have Dale on the show with us now. Dale, great to see you. I'd ask you how you're getting on, but sure, what would be wrong with you after last night?
That's it, yeah. Nice night, yeah. It's really blown up over now, so good moment, yeah.
Yeah, what's this morning been like? Has the phone been blown up?
Yeah, it's been busy. Yeah, I've been working all morning, so I really had a chance to look at it. It's been busy in the pocket, yeah.
What do you do away from football?
Yeah, I'm a roofer, yeah. It's a family business, so yeah, it's not too bad, yeah.
I suppose managing that and playing Premier Division football, it's quite a physical task, I suppose, roofing. Not that I have much experience
It has its days, yeah. It can be demanding at times, but I work for my uncle, you know, he's good with the football, he balances it a bit, so
yeah.
I can't complain, really.
You get an extra cup of tea or two during the day, do you?
Yeah, you can say that, yeah.
Come here, the goal last night, have you ever hit a better one?
Yeah, I've had a few nice moments, yeah. This one's definitely blown up the most, so yeah, it's hard to say I've beaten that one, yeah.
A lot of people calling it a goal of the season contender. Do you think you're in with a chance of lifting the prize?
We should have two or three coming from Drogheda, definitely. You know, we've had in Coyles a couple of weeks back and Balls had one as well. So, yeah, we'll have a few.
Another brilliant result last night against the Pats team that were obviously looking to move into big title contention. But you've gone up there and you've caused yet another huge upset. But not the first time this season, of course. You've gone up to the Brandywell and won. You've taken big scalps at home as well. What is it about this draw of the team that makes you such a difficult team to play against, particularly against the bigger teams in the division?
I think, as you say, we've gone to the top three now and beaten them in their home ground. So it's obviously, I think you could say, it probably suits us going away from home a bit, you know, the way we... Because we're such a team, you know, there's no real individuals. It's just we're all collective. We all do our jobs and we stand by each other. And I think it works probably more away from home because, you know, the teams will try to break you down and they'll probably have more possession. But it probably suits us going away from home and picking them off and having our moment, you know.
I'd imagine a lot of work goes in on the training ground in terms of organisation for those big games away against the likes of a St. Pat's. How instrumental has Kevin and Dara been in the success of this team this season?
Yeah, definitely. I think that could throw, you know, they you know your job when you're going in there. And even you look at last night, we two or three changes and the young lads come in, they knew their job exactly as much as we did on Friday night and they implemented that and it paid off in the end, you know.
And I think what's been remarkable about Drogheda, and we've said it quite a bit on the show this season, is the level of consistency, maybe not always in terms of results, but in terms of level of performance. You always seem to hit a certain level this season and maintain the whole way through. It's been remarkable, given Drogheda are the only part-time team in the league, how consistent your performances have been.
Yeah. I think, like, even last night, you look back over the season and it's another moment. And I feel like we've had so many of these moments. You know, we've had a really, really good year, but you still, before that, like, you're still... Now, still looking over your shoulder where you think, like, you've had such a good season, you shouldn't have to be, but, you know, we still just make sure that we're all right, you know, and we'll start to look up again, you know. There's teams ahead of us that we've shown on our night that we can compete with a lot of them, so hopefully we can keep adding points and crawl up the table more.
Yeah, of course, you're only 7 points behind Dundalk now, who you play next, and That's an interesting point you make about, I suppose, Drogheda, where they are in the table, given how good you've been this season. You'd expect Drogheda to be higher. And I spoke to Kevin numerous times about this earlier in the season, particularly in the first part of the season where there was games where you missed some great chances and we were talking about hard luck stories and all the rest. And I know Kevin kind of had that conversation with his team that you need to put these heartbreak stories behind you now and kick on. But is it important now you end the season strongly to make up maybe for some of those drop points earlier in the year?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, we don't want to come away and look and you say at the end of the season, oh, we were so far off the team ahead of us. So like, we definitely want to keep closing the gap as much as we can. And when you look back, we'll say, yeah, we had a great season. And also, we finished in a decent position because like, I feel like since I've joined the club, it felt like we were almost stuck in eighth position. You know, whereas now we're in seventh, a little spell now. So hopefully we can keep climbing, you know, it'd be nice.
Yeah, I was going to say that to you there. Like, if the season ended tomorrow morning, you could be more than happy with both your personal performance, obviously, and as a club, you've been tremendous this year.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a nice personal one, but it's the team as well. You know, we all understand each other so well. We've got such good relationships. So, you know, if one of us is off on the night, it really doesn't happen for us. So it's important that everyone does their job. That's how we come together for our performances.
And going back to the sort of work that you do on the training ground, I was at the cup game against
buzz a couple of weeks ago, obviously probably not your best night at the office, and lost 3-1, but then you play them a week later and you get a point out of it. So what went into the preparation for that game that you were able to improve so much from the Friday before?
Yeah, I think it's obviously it was unusual to play a team twice in a week, so it was probably a bit more easier to prepare the second time round after being beaten. You know, we could correct our mistakes, and I think we did that a bit on the night. You know, obviously we didn't go and get the win, it was a draw, but I think we definitely showed that we learned from the previous week what we'd done wrong, and we corrected that first and foremost.
Is that one of the few disappointments this season, that cup game, because Bowes probably weren't at their best that night either?
Yeah, I think we felt like we were hoping for, we've had a lot of big nights in United Park, and we were hoping for another one, but it was just seemed to be one of them nights. We couldn't just get that spark going, you know, and even when it went to 1-1, you thought maybe this is it, we'll push on, but it just didn't happen for us on the night, and it is disappointing because we knew the big teams that were already out, you know, it was probably a real big chance of going and winning a trophy, or as you say, or even getting to the final, but yeah, it was unfortunate it didn't happen on the night.
I think I'm right in saying that yourself and Darragh missed a few games leading into that Bowes game. Did you feel you were maybe just lacking a bit of match sharpness as well on the night?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, we've both been. We were carrying a bit of a niggle for a while, you know, and it's hard to rest and probably rehab it when you want to play on the Friday as well. So it probably just caught up on us a bit, you know. We were trying to lay off and during the week and then try turning on on Friday, and sometimes it just doesn't happen, you know.
And you personally, would you say this is your best ever League of Ireland season?
Probably, yeah. I think I've had my most enjoyable season this year. You know, I've had a really strong run the team. You know, I've had a couple of moments that have been nice, so hopefully I can keep doing it.
Yeah, you've got a fair bag of assists this season.
yeah. Probably could have more, you could argue, but no, definitely. It's nice to help the team out, you know. I really do like getting an assist.
And I know your manager Kevin has highlighted you quite a bit this season as well about how good you've been. It must be always great to hear that from your manager.
Yeah, definitely. You know, he sees how much we all work, and you know, he knows what it means to us. So it's nice to hear. You know, it's nice to see the recognition for your work at the end of the day.
You obviously joined Drogheda at the start of last season, having been part of the Shetlands team that won the First Division the year before. Was it a surprise when you found out you weren't staying at Shelburne, or how did that departure and move to Drogheda come about?
You know, we've been there so long, so it probably was a bit of a shock to the system, but you know, you don't really have time to hang around the football, so I just quickly had to look what was next, you know, and get ready for the next challenge.
What was it about Drogheda? I'm sure you had other options. What was it about Drogheda as a club that was an attractive option for you?
I'd seen it, like I'd played with a couple over the years at Shells, and I'd seen them go there and they'd done real well. Like the likes of James Brown or say Dan O'Reilly, like they've gone in there and they've got a good run under the belt, and it's really helped their career. So, you know, I think that was just sort of making sure we went in and played somewhere and showed what I could do first.
Yeah, that's another good point you make. I think the amount of players that Drogheda have lost over the last couple of seasons, I think if you go back to last year or the year before, there's something like 5 players. You mentioned James Brown, Dan O'Reilly, players like that all moved on across the water. So for Drogheda to keep on progressing after that and moving up that Premier Division table and establishing yourself in the top flight, it's been a real success story the last few seasons of Drogheda.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, look, as you say, every year they seem to lose key players, and they just seem to find hidden gems, you know, and it really does work out. But, you know, hopefully they can start holding on to people and really kick them on, you know.
Some great young players coming to the team this year as well. I was only tweeting myself the other day about young Andrew Wogan. He's really impressed me since he's come in for a 17-year-old. There's other young players that come in the team as well, but Wogan in particular, and you had the centre-half that's gone to Norwich Ireland the year as well. He was brilliant as well. Like, you've had some great young players in the team this season.
Yeah, Andy's definitely, he's really showed his class the last few weeks. You know, he's pulled off some big moments for us and kept us in games, you know, so hats off to him. But yeah, there's a real mix, I think, and the young lads, I think there's no pressure on them coming in. Like, you know, that it's just go and play your football and show what you can do. And I think they really seem to excel under that, you know.
Yeah, obviously some really experienced heads like Brennan and Deegan in there as well. I'd imagine they play a big role in the dressing room. Do they kind of integrate those young players as well?
Yeah, I think that they're great lads. You know, they've been around, they've seen it all, and it's important that any bit of info, you know, they're giving, you listen to them, you know, even as sometimes they might not come across as that helping, you know, they might be harsh, but it's important you take it on and listen to what they're saying, because they're trying to help the team at the end of the day, you know, they always want the best interest of you.
I suppose the next question now for Drogheda is what's next and how do you improve further and kick on? I know there's obviously a lot of talk about off-field investment at the moment. If that was to come in, do you feel Drogheda could be a real force and maybe push for Europe in the next few seasons?
Yeah, I see the talk and the speculation. I don't really know myself what is going on, but hopefully it can push them on, you know, because they've really shown the last couple of years that there's a bit of stability there, you know, they sustained their place in the division and they've been a real handful for the big teams at times.
Mm. And yourself personally, 25 now, I suppose this is an important time in your career. You've established yourself as a top Premier Division player. Where do you see yourself going over the next two or three seasons?
Yeah, it's been good this year. You know, I've really knuckled down and had a good year. So, you know, next step, you want to be challenging, you know. You see the big teams, you know, getting to the finals, and that's where you want to be. You want to have them days, you know, winning leagues, winning cups. You want to look back and be able to say you've medalled in that. So hopefully over the years they'll come.
And look, finally, as I said, you've got Dundalk next on Friday in the derby, and not too many more games left after that, but I think you're obviously not going to admit it yourself, but you're as good as safe now, but you're still playing as if every single point matters. And I think that's been a reason why Drogheda have been such a difficult opponent this season. You've probably been safe for quite a long time in truth, but you're playing as if every point, depends on your life. Your life depends on it.
I think you have to be like that, you know, even if you are mathematically safe for you, you know, you've got to turn up on the Friday and make sure that there's 3 points at stake at the end of the day, you know, and you want to take them. So come 90 minutes, you want to be smiling, you know, because it really does has an effect on your weekend, your life at home, you know, if you have a bad night. So every night, you know, has to mean something.
Yeah, well, last night certainly wasn't a bad night. One of the good ones. Only problem you're going to have now is trying to top that between now and the rest of the end of your career.
Yeah, we've a couple to go. So hopefully we can have another few more moments like that, yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Dale, thanks so much.
Thanks very much. Yeah, right. Thanks.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Yeah, great to hear from Dale Rooney on this week's Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's going to have to be some strike to ever better that one from last night, Gary.
Yeah, I think so. I couldn't believe that Markey chipped it out there in the first place. But my God, what a smack. Mother of God. I think who said it was some journalist was like in from right behind it, and he was like, it was even better from that angle.
Yeah, so, I was hoping footage would emerge from somewhere, but unfortunately.
Yeah, anyway, look, that's part of it. I think,
What a great goal. Yeah, there's a few years ago we wouldn't have seen it at all, so we can't be complaining about camera angles just yet. Hopefully in the next few years we might get two or three cameras doing again. Premier Division predictions. Let's go on to Between the Stripes LOI Podcast Predictions League. You asked me last week to try and gather up all these scraps of paper I've lying in the office to try and update the scores. Doing it today, and every week I might have got 1 point more than you 1 week. You might have got a point more than me. We're pretty much where we were. And I had, I think, a 10 or a 20-point lead. But, like, I've lost count, right? So what we're going to do, sprint to the finish. Nil-nil from here on in. We're going to sprint.
Oh, next goal win, Jobs.
Yeah, next goal wins. That's the crack here. So let's add some life to this predictions league, and we'll be a bit more organised with it next year. Right, starting with the Premier Division. We'll start with an easy one. Derry City against UCD.
Is it easy? Is this one easy?
Yeah.
It is it? Why are you saying that?
It's Derry are at home. Just as we always say, it'll be one of those. You can't really win against UCD. If you don't put 7 past them, it was a poor performance. If you do put 7 past them, it was only UCD. 2-0 Derry. Keep it simple.
3-0 Derry.
Okay. Right, moving on to what a game this is going to be. Shamrock Rovers against Shells. If Shells won this, could they potentially be in the title race?
No.
Why? Just not enough road left.
Not enough road left.
They'd only be 6 behind. But are Rovers going to lose twice more between now and the end of the year?
I don't think so. Well, look, I don't know. I'm tired. I don't know what to say
just looking it over. They're at home to Drogheda. I know Drogheda won there this year, but I expect them. They'll go down to Cork. That's a gimme. That's 3 points. And then away to Pats. Home to Sligo. They'll have enough. Rovers will be all right. But
they're not in the title race. No.
Okay. Right. Well, just on this game, can they get something out of Tala?
No, I don't think so. I think 1-0 Shamrock Rovers. Probably maybe Gaffney to score.
Right. I'll follow you. 1-0 Rovers. Just in around this time last year, wasn't it, where Rovers, it looked like they might be losing grip on things. And okay, they had that 3-2 win against Shells. It was the game of the season. Do you remember that one? I think it was a Sunday. It was live on RT, and Gaffney, I think it was, scored a late winner.
Okay, I don't remember that specifically, to be quite
honest. Yeah, I was sick because I went out for the day, and I said, it was one of them where I said, oh, we'll go out for dinner, you know, and secretly like timing it that we'll be back by 5 o'clock, and we didn't get back in time, and I was looking at Twitter and it was like, what a game, and I was like, oh no, I'm after missing the game of the season. But I think Rovers might just do the same here. They'll dig it out. Wouldn't be surprised if it's late. I'm going to go 1-0 to Shamrock Rovers. I'd like to be going to this one Friday. I'm working late Friday, so I won't get to the game Friday night. I'll obviously be at Longford on Saturday for probably what's a dead rubber now, but we'll be there to do the job anyway on LOI TV. And anyone that was watching the game against Waterford on Friday, Gary had the live updates flowing in from the other games. A great wee addition. So well done
absolutely
on that.
Absolutely. Can't believe that worked.
I would like to go to this Friday if I wasn't working. The Loud Derby, Dundalk against Drogheda. Dundalk will actually get a game of football on Friday, unlike last night against Cork.
And how do you see this one going? That's the big Dundalk and Drogheda fan. I think Drogheda could be a bit torn for this one, eh?
I think Drogheda will get something out of this.
Yeah, so do I. But I think they could win it.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not. Why?
If Dundalk have had a huge problem with, if they concede first in games, they find it very hard to get back into them. If Drogheda could get the first goal. And I said about the Cork game last night, that I could see a better team picking apart that Dundalk team that played last night.
Yeah, there was still some mistakes that were made.
Oh, there was one where I was laughing to myself. I think it was Archie Davis. He headed the ball. Now Davis put in an unbelievable cross for the fifth goal last night. He's definitely been the Dundalk's best player of the season, and he's a really good player to watch. But he headed the ball back towards his own goal and played Keaton in one-on-one. And Keaton, did he hit the post, I think, or Shepherd made the save? Can't remember. Oh no, Davis got back to make a tackle on him.
Okay.
And then he was trying to, I think, scoop the ball up to himself to like volley out of play. And he actually just presented it straight to Whitmarsh.
Oh, who headed Whitmarsh, it?
Who headed it, and Shepherd made a good save. But I was just laughing throughout that entire. I was like, that is woeful defending. And there was a couple of goals Cork could have had last night through Dundalk gifting them. So Drogheda will give Dundalk a game. I don't know when the last time they won at Oriel was. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw on this.
Yeah, I think I'll follow you on that simply because it's. They don't have a good history of winning in Oriel.
Hmm.
Not for the last while anyway. So, yeah, I'll follow you on the 1-1.
Bowes against Sligo.
This is
another game that seems to happen every week or two.
Well, look, I think there's only 10 teams in it. So
I know.
There's always that going on. I think Bowes actually win this one.
So do I.
And relatively comfortably. I'm going to go 2-0 Bowes.
I'm going 2-0 as well, yeah. No fuss, Bowes, yeah. Afolabi to score.
Okay. I'm going to go James Clark to score.
Oh, nice. He had another great game the other night as well. Cork against Pats.
I was not the game last night, but I think from what you've said, So the defending that I did see, Nah, I'm going to go Pats 3-1.
I am going to go 3-0 to Pats. Pats could send out their under-19 team and they'll beat Cork if Cork play anything. And if their attitude is anything like it was last night. Moving on to the first division, Galway against Athlone. We've kind of already done a little bit of a mini preview on this. I suppose Galway will have their eyes on the FAI Cup semi-final. They're already champions. This could be an opportunity for Athlone. Even a point here could be important for Athlone because they are slipping down that table.
Yeah, it'd be good. And look, it'll be always good to get a point off the champions, even with the league done. And I suppose you kind of want, like, would Athlone be thinking, I think they could do a job on Waterford, you see. So I'm not, like, are they going to be that incentivized to get out of fifth? I don't think overly so.
I think they do. You don't want to be going down the RSC for a second leg. I agree they could do a job on Waterford, but you'd rather do them in the final over one game than have the headache of two games against them. I know Waterford bet nothing the other night on Friday, but it was a professional performance from Waterford, wasn't it? But they weren't great either against Longford. They didn't have to be.
Well, no, that's key. Like there was no testing there. Yeah. I think we've said it. You know, like Keith Long didn't learn very much. He could do with learning a few other things though, Keith Long. But he didn't learn much about his team that night.
Yeah. It's an obvious thing to say. They looked a lot more threatening with Coughlin back in the team. Should have had a couple of goals. I'm not happy. He's still on 32. That goal didn't, or 31, whatever he was on. That goal wasn't his the other night. Anyway, go on. Give me a prediction. This Galway at loan. I'm going 1-0 at loan.
I'm going 0-0. Let me undo that.
Every week.
2-2.
2-2. The Desmond. Bray against Cove.
The Desmond. Bray against Cove. Now the teams are starting to become, you know, guaranteed playoffs. Like Cove are in the playoffs.
Cove will keep on ploughing. They'll keep ploughing. I'm going to go 5-1 Cove.
Where is this game?
In Bray.
5-1.
Can play it on the beach for all they want. Cove will mill through them.
Okay, I'm going 2-0 Cove. I think Lee will get, and I don't mean to hold, but I think Lee will get another clean sheet.
Waterford Wexford, it's a derby. More important for Wexford really than Waterford.
I think so, but I don't. I think Waterford will have far too much for them. As far more impressive.
Far too much for them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I know Wexford won a game, won in the RSC earlier on the season, but I think Waterford are. I know we weren't as impressed with them ahead of the Longford game last week, but I think Waterford were. They were very professional, but a lot of their play was really nice. Their passing was crisp.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff was really good. So I think I don't think Wexford will. I think it'd be 2-1 to Waterford.
Feck yeah, that's what I'm going for as well. Finn Harps against Kerry.
Not much of a shootout to the end of the season, is it? If we're picking all the same all the time.
That's true. We spoke about this before. Will Kerry get another win between now and the end of the season? We picked through fixtures, and I think the two we highlighted, and we were almost right actually on this, the two we highlighted was a home game against Bray, which they were doing okay in, and then they ended up losing, and the home game against Longford. Now, they never really looked like they were going to beat Longford on the night, but they took a point off Longford, so we weren't that far away. But we didn't have this one, a trip to Ballybuffet on our radar. But now the Harps are going into this one without a manager all of a sudden. Could Kerry get their second win of the season?
Well, has it been decided who's taken over?
Haven't read anything, actually, no.
Okay.
Darren Murphy was there as the assistant, so I assume he'll stay on and maybe could be a candidate for the job in itself.
I think there's going to be 0-0.
Oh, I'm going. This is crazy. I'm going 0-0 as well. Okay. Longford Town against Treaty. Bit of a dead rubber feel to it. This one.
Yeah, and look, I'm going to go against what I've seen the last four games for the Town. I'm going to go 2-0 to Longford Town.
And would you believe I'm going 2-0 as well, but I'm going 2-0 to Treaty. Success in good form. I don't know, will the boy Corran be around? If he's even half fit, he'll be a goal threat. So I think they'll have too much for a Longford Town team. They look like they're limping towards the end of the season.
Is Inga fit or what?
He didn't play in the last two games, no.
Mm.
But success is filling the role very well, it has to be said.
Yeah, he is. He's doing some great work, to be fair to him, and scoring some bangers as well.
Oh.
Actually, that's another goal I saw in the first visit to Treaty.
Yeah.
That came on in the at the start of this for the second half, and that, and a few minutes later had a absolutely hammered in. Great goal. So he's fond of the old smacks from distance.
He is.
He's very accurate. So yeah, look, I think that'd be a good one.
I said this is a dead rubber, but of course this is a cup final for Treaty every time they play Longford. So
absolutely,
we'll get the old Umbri Cup or whatever we're calling it. We'll get it polished up and have it on the center circle. You can zoom in on it on the stream when they're coming. We'll jazz it up a bit.
We will. Yeah, look, I think it's the biggest game of the season for Treaty, of course. Well, one of the four biggest games of the season, to be fair. But look, we'll hopefully have a good stream and everything will go okay on Saturday.
Yeah, look, that brings us to the end of this week's show. It was great to have so many listener questions this week. So thanks to everyone that got in touch. You know where to find us. We're on Twitter, so just search Between the Stripes. You'll find us there. Make sure you're subscribed to the pod wherever you're listening. Let that be Apple, Spotify, Google Pods, all the other ones that are out there these days. Feel free to leave a rating and a review. And if you're enjoying the show and you'd like to show your appreciation, then you can head to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI and you can buy us a virtual pint there, or you can sign up to our members club where you'll get access to some great exclusive League of Ireland content throughout the year. But for tonight, from myself, Kieran Burke, and from Gary Rowley, thanks again for joining us again this week, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.